faith that you can actually accomplish things. That's a different kind of faith, isn't it? And Caesar had pretty practical faith.
Caesar was a very religious person. I was a member of a Catholic religious order, and I have some appreciation of the nuances of religion and what it means to practice religion and practice your faith and rituals and liturgy. And, for 15 years, that was an integral part of my life. And when I met Cesar Chavez, I found him to be a very religious person. He went to church. He prayed. He used the gospel as a model, a model of conduct. He felt that in his own way, he was trying to practice the teachings of the gospel on behalf of helping people, helping his fellow man. He was very respectful of the Catholic Church. He would never permit in his presence any of us, any staff member, any farm worker, to criticize the Catholic Church or the bishops for their lack of involvement in the early days in support of the strike and the union and the boycott. He wished it weren't so, but he would not permit any criticism to be made, at least in his presence. Or if we were out giving speeches on the boycott or raising funds for the farm workers, whatever, we were not permitted to criticize the Catholic Church or any church. It's not just the Catholic Church, but any church or religious people, religious ministers or bishops or rabbis. That was off limits. He was very respectful of religion and the role of religion in the lives of people. Now, part of this is understandable, of course, because religion in the lives of Mexicans and Mexican Americans at that time was an integral part of their life. I would even characterize it as cultural. It's part of their cultural life. And it was part of Caesar's cultural life also. So while he understood this at one level and was respectful, and he also, on another level, it was very practical. I mean, how could we go around criticizing the church, for example, when people that we were organizing were churchgoers and believed in the church and were part of that? I mean, it didn't make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense. And we understood that. We understood that. So Caesar was, I would characterize him as a very strong believer. Now, he was also a very practical person, and there were many volunteers who were not religious people, or who were non-religious people, and they felt quite at home. Well, he certainly made them feel quite at home. Now that didn't mean for a minute that if we were going to have a Catholic Mass, that we didn't have it just because there were people that were part of the union that were non-religious, or that it was like, this is what we do, this is who we are, and you're welcome to be part of it. We want you to be part of it, but if you're not, you're not. I mean, there's no.
I went to Mass more times when I worked for the union than before or since. So let's switch gears and go back to to your trip back east with Caesar for the Kennedy funeral, and what that moment was like, what it felt like to be there with him.
There are two things that I remember distinctly these many years later. This is a long time ago. And you know, being an old man now, you have selective memories. You know, you remember a few things. You don't remember everything. But what I remember, and will never forget, on that trip are two things. We went to St. Patrick's Cathedral. Caesar was an honorary pallbearer. And his time to stand at the head of the casket, Senator Kennedy's casket, was at 12 midnight. So I was with him, and we were there a little early, and the time came, and Caesar stood in front of the casket just himself for an hour. He was honorary pallbearer, and it was just eerily quiet. Very, very few. Well, you can imagine, 12 midnight, there were just a handful of people in this huge church edifice. And I'm sitting there in the pew, and I'm looking over, and I just see this small Mexican-American, humble-looking person, plain person. Caesar's not dressed in a suit or tie. He's just dressed in his everyday work clothes of being a farm worker organizer. And I don't know, I just sat there for that hour. I knew that I was in the presence of greatness. The greatness of a deceased person, of course, and the greatness of a person in the, like Cesar Chavez, leader of a movement that would change the face of this country, and did. The second memory I have is Cesar and I had to, of course, we came the next morning to attend the Mass, and we had assigned seats. They were up fairly close to the front. But we were a little late. We should have been earlier, but we were a little late, not late for the ceremony, but a little late getting to the church to get to our places. And we had to wait outside the cathedral at the bottom of the steps. And the reason why we had to wait was because President Johnson was arriving, and his car pulled up. And he got out of the car, and he started to walk up these steps to the cathedral. Oh, he had people with him, of course. There was a huge crowd assembled all around the front of the cathedral. And they were all held back by police barricades, including us. We were behind the police barricade. When Johnson got out of the car and started to go up the steps, this grumble, this human grumble, began. And the more steps he took, the louder it became. An angry human grumbling. This man, this president of the United States, was being dissed at Robert Kennedy's funeral.
Start taking up the steps again as he starts to go.
The further President Johnson gets up the steps of the cathedral, the louder the human grumbling becomes. It's angry. It's muted. No one is shouting. Or there are no phrases. There's no words being used. It's just this ugly, angry grumbling of a mass of, there must have been several thousand people in front of the cathedral. And they were angry at the President of the United States because President Kennedy, because Senator Kennedy had been assassinated. And somehow they felt that, well, I'm not saying they held him responsible, but they were making their displeasure felt in the only way they could. And I never forgot that. Caesar was quite shocked. We talked about it afterwards. We had never witnessed anything like that.
It's okay. It went away. But it was, being there was important both for you and Caesar, wasn't it, to be part of that?
Well, it was certainly an honor for Caesar, leader of poor people, to be invited to a funeral of a person of this stature. I think, truthfully, if Caesar had a choice, was given a choice, I think he would have preferred not to have been there. He was so distraught, really. He was very personally upset. It was taking him 3,000 miles away from his movement, and who back home people were very upset, very depressed. They needed him back home. He wanted to be back home for their sake. But out of duty, out of respect, he came back for the funeral. But after the funeral, he turned right around and went back. I mean, so Caesar was not one to bask in honorary events or to be treated as a celebrity or have certain expectations where he should sit or where he should not sit or who he was sitting next to. Those kinds of arrangements held little or no meaning for Cesar Chavez. Now, they have a lot of meaning for self-important people and people who promote themselves. But that is not Cesar Chavez. That was not Cesar Chavez. He was not a self-promoter. So he did what he had to do by going to Senator Kennedy's funeral. He was sad. On the one hand, he felt he was showing respect by being there. On the other hand, he had other people, a whole movement, depending upon him and waiting for him for direction and for encouragement and cheering up, and, you know, he had a lot going.
A lot of commitments.
A lot of commitments, a lot of human commitments. A lot of people were, and I'm one of them. I mean, we were all dependent upon him. And we needed him to teach us and to show us the way and to tell us what's next and how we're going to get there and why we're doing it and what happens if we fail and how do we correct our mistakes? And it's a lot of responsibility.
But on some level, Caesar and Robert Kennedy really clicked, didn't they? I mean, they, even though they were very different people from different worlds,
well,
something that some connection was really important.
I think fundamentally the ultimate connection is with the Kennedy family. Starting with JFK, John F. Kennedy, and then Robert Kennedy, and then Ted Kennedy. How true this is or not, I'm not sure. But in Caesar's mind, it was true. So in some ways, it doesn't make any difference what I think or don't think. But I know that Caesar considered the Kennedy family torchbearers for social justice in this country. And that they would stick up and stand up for poor people. And that they would challenge the status quo that kept them down, kept poor people down and subjugated. Now, where that belief came from, or how it came, I'm not sure. But I know that Caesar believed that. Now, he also understood that they were politicians and that they had to be elected and that they had to run for election and give speeches and say things that had nuances to different people. He didn't object to that. But he knew that beneath it all, the Kennedy family, at least as exemplified by JFK and RFK, they were on the side of poor people and social justice. And that was very important. It's very important for a movement of farm workers. And Caesar believed that in the end, he could count on them. Now, I think he could, and he did. But I think when I came onto the scene full-time in 1965, that was a given in Caesar's mindset and makeup about the relationship with the Kennedy family.
And that continued?
Yes, oh, definitely it continued, and it continued after, certainly continued into Ted Kennedy, and I'm amazed now looking back at the documentation project on the website and everything that's been collected there, and I see how many times Ted Kennedy was literally involved in coming to events and things on behalf of farm workers. And I remember in the 1972 in the Caesar's Arizona Fast, Robert Kennedy, of course, was deceased, but we brought Robert Kennedy's oldest son, Joe, and he took the place of his dad in representing the Kennedy family when Caesar broke the fast in Phoenix, Arizona in 1972. So in one way or another, that Kennedy connection continued on, at least for all the years that Caesar was alive.
We did the funeral.
I think we got it.
What?
I think we got it. Yeah, I think.
He's looking at his watch. It's time to go.
Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, time goes. I mean.
I think we've done it.
I think it's enough there, don't you? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And you're very, very eloquent and thoughtful, so
I think we've covered it.
I'm happy.
And the other